T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The last half decade had one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, and they have one playoff win to show for it.
Who was it against, sadly?
I know. It's not the end-all, be-all. Like, the Steelers, I don't mean that to say the Steelers should ignore the offensive line. They should absolutely make strides to improve it.
Somebody could argue against you, by the way, your Browns example. The Eagles have been very conscientious about their O-line and how they build it, and they're a powerhouse.
Yeah, I mean, there's good. We could do this where I'm just arguing back on the idea that that's the way you win championships, by strictly building an offensive line.
You win
line.
Championships.
The Steelers had one of the worst offensive lines ever assembled in 08, and they won a Super Bowl.
You win championships by having an unbelievable quarterback. Generally.
Here is Bob in Blawnox on the Steelers draft. Hello, Bob. Bob in Blawnox, are you there?
Is that me?
Bob, the alliteration trick is there.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, you could have.
Your name is not Starkey, so I didn't expect that to happen. I'm thinking, now wait a minute, he couldn't be possibly doing this.
You think Pat Narduzzi could be the Steelers defensive coordinator, Bob?
You dog.
Do you think they'll take Dino Tomlin in the sixth round, Bob?
Hi, gentlemen. How are we today?
Bob,
I can tell you're off to a roaring start.
Well, we thought we lost you earlier.
No, it's not that. We got tied up with the Pirate stuff we were doing and the way that game ended, and then running around. This is my fault. I totally forgot because I was doing stuff. So
we get it.
Job over here sometimes creeps up on me.
Bob, am I going to be working with you tonight on the sports call?
Yes.
We're going to do a little draft sports call. All right, I'll ask you then. A lot of the rumors seem to be pointing to a lot of the local guys, Jerry Dulac, others, Mel Kiper, of course, Pumpkin Pie every day. They both say Graham Barton at pick 20. If those guys are correct, Bob, what would you make of that pick, Barton at 20?
Well, I think, obviously you need a center. But here's the thing with that. When you draft someone that high as a center, down the road, he's treated as a offensive lineman vis-a-vis tackle, which means money, 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 which you don't mind paying if he's worth it, because that's what they need. They need someone who can solidify the middle of that line. But that's what you're dealing with here. So you better make sure he's that kind of guy who, could be worth the value down the road, because you're going to pay him like a tackle, which is fine.
Why are you paying him like a tackle? I'm a little bit confused here.
Because the offensive linemen are all treated the same when it comes to this kind of stuff. Down the road, you'll pay him. Offensive linemen are all clumped together. I think I'm right on this. And so when you're talking about whether it's franchise tags or how much money, you're talking about a fifth-year option.
Oh,
you're
okay,
gonna be paying,
I get what you're saying now.
Tackle
I got you
money.
Now. Yep, all right. I got you on that.
So my point is, that's fine. They need one. But I was thinking tackle more prominently, just because I know how important those positions are. And if you have one, and nobody knows how this is going to work out, we can all speculate on what they need, what they should do. One or two trades it all, makes it all different. But if they had Graham Barton's fine. I wouldn't have a problem with that pick at all. But I do think, if it's up to me, if there were a tackle and a center and even a wide receiver available, if he piqued my interest, knowing how this game has evolved and what they're trying to do offensively, I wouldn't be opposed to any of that.
Bob, you watch so much college football. At least it doesn't like that on Saturdays, because there are things you need to go and do. You got college football. You've got highlights. You've got all the draft prep that you've done leading up to today. Is there a guy in this draft who you think the Steelers could realistically get who is a player you love? Like Papiani would go on the sports call tonight with Malsey at 10:35, and you would say, I'm not just fine with this pick. I really, really like this pick.
My pick was going to be Frazier you know, the center from West Virginia, only because I felt that he could be attainable later. I still think the second and third rounds here are just as important as the first. I do.
Yes.
Because of the many things they have to. So that was the guy I was kind of hoping for, regardless of where he was drafted. But there are some pretty good wide receivers down the road who make sense, I suppose.
But how about with the 20th pick? Is there a guy you love with the 20th pick?
Yeah, like a specific first. Last year I was over the moon about Broderick Jones. You don't have a this year's Broderick Jones for yourself.
You're ambivalent, it sounds like, on this.
No, I thought the same thing last year because I thought Broderick Jones was worth trading up for. They may find themselves in the same exact position. They may find themselves sitting there at 20 thinking, okay, if we get up to 15 or 16 or 17 like last year, we can get someone we didn't expect. When you're down that low, unless you trade up to the top 10, 11, 12, I don't think you're going to get anybody that you're really going to make all that much of a difference. I think it's about needs. You know, if you have needs, you're going to try to satisfy them in this draft, because I don't know how many free agent or trade acquisitions there are. Wide receiver is still a problem. So if I could figure out if there was a wide receiver, and I don't know how many of them would reach –
how about the kid from LSU that caught 17 touchdown passes last year?
Ryan Thomas is a raw – he looks to me like somebody that is raw talent, which I like raw talent, but I don't like raw talent. They're in the market, I think, for someone
who – you like it cooked medium well? How do you prefer?
You're a conundrum, Bob.
Pittsburgh rare?
You just said you like and don't like the same thing.
Well, here's why. Because a raw talent is good in 3 years. Is he good enough now to step in and play?
I mean, Bob, you're raw. You caught 17 touchdowns. That sounds like well-done talent to me in the SEC, catching 17 tutties.
I still think he's raw talent. I think he's a guy who can come in and at the NFL level have some issues at first. So, yeah, if he's there, he's someone worth considering for sure. They do a lot more work on this than I do. I see names. I see what these guys have done. They all look good to me now, but in 2 years, who's going to look the best? I don't know. We're all going to celebrate tonight as if, oh, man, they satisfy their needs. We won't know that for 3 years.
Bob, okay, here's another question. Let's say the following three players are all still on the board at 20. This is highly unlikely, but it's just plausible enough for me that I'm going to ask you. Barton's mm-hmm. there, Amarius Mims is there, and Iowa's Cooper DeJean has fallen, and he is available at 20. Who would you want to see the Steelers pick of those three?
I think DeJean, just because of, again, what I think he can be at the NFL level, although, Mims is a guy who I think you could factor right in, too. So I'm looking for guys who can fit right in and play immediately. They have to have that because they're in a position where they've done everything in this offseason to make you think that they're trying to win now, which they are. And their quarterback play and what they've done with it issues that statement. But you better make sure whoever it is can move right in and play. And they can't be, waiting a year to play and not effective enough to play.
Okay, so what is your official prediction, your crystal ball?
I'm going to go Mims. I said that last week, I think, to you guys, but that's who I still think will be there, and that's who I think they will take.
And is there anything you'd like to vent about regarding the Pirates in the game today with us before we let you go?
Yeah, we were over there, and it just bothers me, the offense. I know that the bullpen collapsed today. They had a lead in the eighth inning, and that didn't work, but you look at some of the lack of power numbers, and last night the fact that McCutchen had to pinch hit for Henry Davis, and then Bart hits a home run today for three runs in the first inning, that tells me a lot right now about what their future moves might be, although we've talked about that, and I think we all agree it may end up being that Davis goes to the minors. But they got to get better at all these positions. There's no power in this lineup right now. Sawinski went off the top of the wall, but he needs to do better in those situations. Brian Hayes still has no home runs, for Davis, one home run for Tellez. These guys,
Tellez, though, okay? He's hitting under 200. He's playing defense like a little leaguer, but if we boo, that would be a problem, Bob.
Who would come to his aid in the locker room then?
I don't think anybody.
I was distracted. You know why? I'm sorry. I was half listening. I pulled a Starkey because someone just tweeted again the picture of Tunsil from draft night with that bong mask. Do you remember that?
I remember the bong.
And he fell down in the draft because of it. He's a very, very good player.
He's made a ton of money.
One of the best. He's made a ton of money, and maybe that has something to do with it. Who knows?
All right, Bob. We'll be watching at 10:35 tonight for you and Malzi, okay?
Hey, Chris, we may be right on when the pick is made. We'll have instant analysis.
I would be very pumped. People need to tune into KDK Plus for that.
See you, Bob.
All right, gents, thanks.
There you go. You just said tune into that, but then that means you're telling people not to tune in to our draft show, which Donnie is on. You're telling people to screw Donnie to listen to you.
Okay. By the way,
you think Craig Riley likes that right now, that you're picking your own selfish interests over one of the station and the greater good here?
I don't care if he does. That's content, baby. By the way, you see the NFL Network is set up on the complete opposite side of, like, the big podium. Not podium area, but their look at the stage is the opposite of ESPN's. Do they keep those two staffs separate, like the Sharks and the Jets?
And I think the NFL Network would get the better real estate.
Man, it looks like ESPN's got good real estate, though.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's draft day. We'll have full-blown draft coverage. We've had it all day, but it really kicks up at 6 with Donnie and then our draft ensemble. I'm still just so intrigued by the Jim Haslett being involved in this, and Jim coming in studio, fresh off coaching. I looked this up. The XFL's Seattle Sea Dragons. And he's gone from that to now sharing a room and sharing wings and pizza and breaking down draft picks with Donnie tonight.
Donnie, I have a trivia question
for you. From coaching Aaron Brooks in the gang in New Orleans.
Why did you do that?
I knew he was their coach.
I was going to ask you. I said he won one playoff game in his career. Who was his quarterback? And that's all I was going to ask you. Yes, he did.
All right. Steve Palazzolo joins us right now. Steve, does that also intrigue you, the idea of Donnie, who you've heard and met before, hosting with Jim Haslett tonight on our station? Uh-oh, we can't hear Steve.
Oh, no.
Did he mute himself?
Hold on. Wait a minute, Donnie. What did we do here?
I can see Steve on our video, but I can't hear him.
Did we mute him by muting that monitor that we were given?
No.
There's no way. There's no way it could happen. Hold on. We've got to work on this one, Donnie.
Do you think we have it, or do we need to get him on the phone?
Uh-oh. The best part about this is, what if we actually did screw it up here? I don't know how it would be possible, but I thought you and I might have screwed this up.
No, because then if we keep that monitor's volume on, we're just going to hear him come through in
right.
here. That's
you would
not
think so.
That's not going to work. And our tech people are smart enough not to.
Maybe we're going to have to toss Steve back on the phone here. I don't know.
We might have to. Saw him. He looked good.
Well, it's funny because
nice
we can see him right now
nice
in the studio.
Nice and dressed up. Hair looks great.
Yeah, I mean, I can see him right there. It's impossible for him not to, you know, he looks well coiffed.
He's hearing
and ready
all
to go.
This, but we can't. We can see, but we can't hear.
Oh, what a
while we get that sorted out, I always think Pomp does this thing where he knows something behind the scenes and he says it.
Like
it's his opinion, but it's based on, we can hear him now, he can hear us. Steve, can you hear us?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I hear you guys. My apologies.
All right. I don't think it was your fault. You were probably going on about the Haslett thing, but that's okay. All right, so let's just get into these draft prospects here, and we'll just take them one by one. There's so much momentum right now that the Steelers will use the 20th pick on Graham Barton. What's your take on the player?
I like Graham Barton. I think, you know, he's been described as a five-position player. I really do think he could play tackle, guard, or center. I think he could. I'm a big fan of his. I think his combine testing projects really well, not just for showing that he's an athlete, for actually projecting him at the next level. Especially for interior offensive line, you can kind of look at shuttle and cone and the whole body of work at the combine and say that works well for the future. And he was productive at Duke. So I like Barton quite a bit. And I think he's a wild card in this first round because he fills many needs for different teams.
Who's more of a projection in your opinion? Mims with the like low number of overall snaps as an NFL right tackle, just lack of experience, or Barton as an actual NFL center, given how long it's been since he played it? What's a bigger projection in your mind?
Oh, I think it's probably Mims. I feel pretty good about Barton and in his production, you know, translating whether it's guard or center. I think with Mims, he'll be fine too, but it's just a matter of, yeah, that small sample size.
What's the gap between Barton and the other two centers, Powers Johnson and Frazier, in your opinion, Steve?
I think Jackson Powers Johnson's right there with him. I don't know if he's everybody's cup of tea, but I think the power that he brings to the table in a downhill scheme is probably the best in the class. Frazier's a similar type of player as JPJ. I don't think he's as good of a prospect, though. I know a lot of people love Zach Frazier, but I would say JPJ and Grant Barton, one and two for me, and I would say Frazier more of a second rounder, a little bit lower for me.
What is it about JPJ that you think some people don't like that you obviously aren't hung up on? Like, what is the reason that there's been this gap that Barton has started to open up on him in other people's eyes?
It's probably the fact that he's just a monster and maybe doesn't move as well as some of the other guys. Again, Barton's testing numbers. I mean, just JPJ, he's big. He's like a big rectangle.
I'm imagining Jabba the Hutt now playing center here or something like that.
Yeah, he was fascinating seeing him in person at the Senior Bowl and just the body, like the shape and everything. So if you're running a lot of zone scheme, you probably don't want JPJ as much as a guy like Grant Barton because of the movement skills.
The other right tackle, so you hit on Mims, and we've talked to you a lot about Mims. Fuaga from Oregon State, Fautanu, who's mainly been a left tackle, but he's got the versatility too. And then Guyton from Oklahoma. Actually, Jeremiah today mocked him to the Steelers, the Oklahoma right tackle. Just if you could, Steve, like, do you feel like all those guys would be good picks at 20? Is there one from that group of four that you like more than the rest? Is there a guy that's more of a second-round pick? Give me a take on the right tackle crop.
Of that group, I'd say Fuanga and J.C. Latham, if he was to fall from Alabama. He's getting a lot of
Chargers
smoke around
buzz.
Number five.
Yep.
Yeah. But I like Fuanga best of that group by far. I like Tyler Guyton the least of that group by far. I think from a – look, I'll give you a little insight. I've got a draft model, and historically, Fuanga's in the group that hits pretty well, that hits really well. And Tyler Guyton's in the group that does not hit very often because he's got this low production profile, 1 year of starting at Oklahoma, and he's just a massive projection. And then when you watch Guyton on film, there are reps where he does it so well, and it's great, and he looks like an incredible left or right tackle. And then there's other plays he's just technique is just awful. And you saw that at the Senior Bowl as well. So give me Fuanga out of that group.
I think you, I read your article about your projection model and liked it very much, Steve. It was very detailed, kind of in-depth writing, which I enjoyed last night. Let me ask you about a guy. Let's say the Steelers go with Barton, because a lot of people locally seem to think that has a very good chance of happening. Pony and I not crazy about that move for a variety of reasons, but let's say it does. What about, I'm going to butcher his last name, but I'm going to try it anyway. Guy with a second-round grade from a guy like Dane Brugler, Kingsley Suamataya from BYU. What is that guy all about, and is he somebody that the Steelers could actually find available to them at pick 51?
They should. I mean, he's the guy that I think some people are predicting might sneak into the back end of the first, right? There's 100 first-round picks
yep.
all the time that at least have a rumor. Suamataya, I believe it is potentially one of those guys. I like him more in the second round. I think him and Jordan Morgan from Arizona, both second round type of tackles. Patrick Paul from Houston. I think that's the Paul's getting first round hype as well. So I think those guys are better in the second. I think Suamataya is fine. He's like he is your classic big right tackle that is really strong, tough to get around him. He's a solid player, but I don't think he's a first round player.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. When I look at Brian Thomas Jr. and I read the scouting reports on websites like yours, Steve, T. Higgins is the name that keeps coming up. If that's apt, then the Steelers should take him at 20, right? If I'm getting another T. Higgins, that's a slam dunk. Our second receiver is Van Jefferson right now.
If you knew you were getting T. Higgins, I would absolutely do that. I don't know that Brian Thomas is that good. I think he's more of a deep threat type of player. I don't think he's as well-rounded as T. Higgins. There's a lot of inconsistency in his game. I don't think the route running for Brian Thomas Jr. is great. I like him as a complimentary receiver, though. So if you have a guy that's high volume, like if the Bills come up to get Brian Thomas Jr., I'm not loving that because I think they're going to put too much on him. I like him as a deep threat, a better Chase Claypool, or what you thought Chase Claypool could have been. Sorry. But he's better than
Chase Claypool turned into a 32nd pick. That was great.
But does he pair well with Pickens then?
Flip him for 32.
Does he pair well with George?
It's not bad. I still think you'd rather have a more high volume, you know, all around receiver, which, hey, everyone would want that. But I think it's better in Pittsburgh than it is in Buffalo. In Buffalo, I think there's a lot of pressure for him to be the one.
Who are some guys who are going to be available maybe outside the first and second round? So I'm talking, this is a weird one, but third-ish round grade guys that might be there at 84, 98, who project as more all-around type of wide receivers who could step in pretty early, even as third-round picks, Steve, and maybe give that compliment to Pickens for them.
I'll tell you what, the guy I've been hyping this whole draft season because, well, there's a lot of off-field to deal with there is Jermaine Burton from Alabama. I honestly think he's the fourth best receiver in the entire draft class, but his off-field is horrendous.
What is it specifically with the off-field? Because
like
I've
Kuiper didn't even rank him.
Kuiper didn't
he took
rank
him completely off his board, Steve.
I know he hopped.
He might be off a lot of boards. He punched a cheerleader at Tennessee after a game or pushed.
Oh my God,
I'm saying it was more pushed. I don't want to speak out of turn. I just know it's bad. And a lot of the reports from he was at Georgia and Alabama, and there was not a lot of people behind the scenes saying nice things about Jermaine Burton. So I don't know if that means he's a fifth rounder, if he is legitimately off boards. I know the Steelers have a history of, you know, reclamation projects that have worked out. I'm just saying Burton's a guy from an on-field perspective is unbelievable. Jalen McMillan from Washington could be a good player, you know, works out of the slot with some good size, could be a nice third round pick. And then Tez Walker from UNC, got a tidy up some consistency, but he's got some big playability.
Steve, we've talked about a lot of guys here. Now I'm going to just give you Cooper DeJean. If they took him at 20, the Iowa corner, would you like that pick more than any other guy we've discussed so far?
I think I'm fine with any of the offensive linemen, and DeJean would be good too, man. I mean, he or Dujon, I think he wants to be called Mustard. Cooper
what
DeJean.
Is it with names he's, this year, Chris? We got Latham, we got Latham,
I just
we
tried
got
to
Amarius, we got Amarius. This is going
I just stumbled like a man
here.
In a dark room through Sua Matia, and now we've got DeJean.
Is it? It's wild, but continue, Steve.
We've just been calling him Mustard on the PFF NFL podcast just to, you know,
just
keep
it
simple.
It
but, I mean, he could play in the slot. He could play outside, I think. Really good athlete. I mean, he wants to tackle. I know everybody's linking him to a Raven scheme or the Seattle scheme that's going to be, you know, like the Ravens where they had a Kyle Hamilton that could do it all and line up everywhere. DeJean, of course, could do any of that. So, yeah, he's a fun player, and I think he'd be nice at any time in the back end of the first.
Steve, one other guy that, like, if they go in the second, is where I see this guy going now, and they go, let's say tackle or O-lineman, but they do address corner at 51. Max Melton from Rutgers, would that be a good value too early? Probably not going to be there. Give me the skinny on Max Melton.
Well, you read my article that said he's an upside type of player, and his name did show up there because he had an outstanding workout. My problem with Max Melton is the production, and, you know, it doesn't translate well to the NFL level. He's just he's a really good athlete. Reminds me a little bit of Deontay Banks last year, who did go in the first round for Maryland as far as movement skills go, the ability to play man coverage. You just got to get better from a technique standpoint. And we've seen the NFL, the reason why he landed on my upside list, we've seen the NFL do well with corners who move well like this, like a Tariq Woolen out in Seattle. So Max Melton, I don't love him in the second round, but I think there's a lot of potential there with his movement.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, telling us how to say names right on today's visit.
DeJean.
Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it, man. We'll talk.
I'm usually on the wrong end of the pronunciation. So enjoy the draft, guys.
You too. See ya. Oh, yeah, you know that music means it's time for the Donnie Football Debrief, and it is brought to you by my friends at Saloni's Italian Bread. Made a grilled cheese with some Saloni's the other day.
Congratulations on all your success.
Yep.
Sounds like you're a real Emeril Lagasse in the kitchen. Fish tacos, grilled cheese, what do you got next up your sleeve?
Tonight it's hibachi.
You're going to make it?
Hell no. It's a life hack. There's a place near us. You order the kids hibachi, and it's like just as big as the regular meal, and it's half the price.
Now, how are they? They've got to understand that they're getting killed on the margins with that.
They haven't figured it out yet.
Maybe they just really like kids and want them to be well fed.
I'll tell you what, though. Like, you go get hibachi, they do not skimp you at all. It's awesome.
That's one of the things, actually, that I like when Alex makes at home. She makes an absolutely vicious chicken fried rice. Like, it's terrific, man.
And you're getting your money's worth.
Oh, dude, I'm a sucker for it. I keep inhaling it, too. I'll keep eating.
See, I like the lo mein noodles more than I like rice.
I've had those, and I liked them more than I thought I would, but good old rice is just such a stalwart.
Chicken lo mein was my go-to Saturday lunch in college where I'm just incredibly hungover and I just want to sit on my couch and watch something like day three of the draft or a day of like Stanley Cup playoffs.
I would do pepper steak with steamed rice from Uncle Chen's. That was my – I still have Uncle Chen's from State College number in my phone.
And I'm getting chicken lo mein. They're like throwing me like a can of Coke. I'm getting an egg roll too, all of it for under $10.
I used to –
You're living large, man.
I've accidentally called Uncle Chen's post-college because I have an actual uncle of mine saved in my phone as uncle, and I've just quickly like pressed the button and it's been too close and I've started to call Uncle Chen's.
All right, Donnie, so what do you got for us here in the debrief, buddy?
The debrief, April 25, 2024. The list has been released for the former players, some active players, and also celebrities that are announcing picks in rounds 2 and 3 tomorrow night.
Because Goodell gets all – there might be, like, some, you know, special pick that gets made by –
Well, yeah, like Cam Hayward, for instance, is announcing the Steelers tonight. Like they always
seem to get that
treatment too.
Walter Payton recipient, Man of the Year award, gets to do it.
Like, right. Why does it feel like in the first round every year the Steelers pick gets made by either a current or former Steeler?
Well, Franco
and
got
not
to do
actually
it for
Goodell.
Kenny. Yes, because the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception.
Correct.
You're right, though. That's true.
So like Hayward makes the pick. Joe Green announced Devin Bush.
Right. You'd have thought that
years
foretold
back.
Greatness.
Eh.
He should have crumpled up that piece of paper and just made
the
his
Steelers
own
Steelers announced, I mean, Joe, you know what? Screw this guy.
Joe Green at that current time would have been better than what we got from Devin Bush.
Joe Green right this second, probably a better tackler.
Okay, so you let one cat out of the bag. We've got Hayward doing the first round. Any other Steelers or Pittsburgh celebrities?
Pittsburgh guys, Freiermuth is announcing the pick in round 3.
That's random.
And it'll actually be round 2 as well, so they're just going to use him for both.
Okay.
What if they traded a like Freiermuth to move up? The Steelers have wait a minute traded me.
He still has to come out and announce that.
That's and not it's like, happening, of it, course.
It's caught off guard. But some other names you'll recognize here, like Mohsin Mohamed's going to announce the Panthers pick to kick off the second round.
God, solid fantasy football receiver for me back in the
day. He had a very memorable Super Bowl against the Patriots. One of the best fourth quarter, maybe the best individual Super Bowl quarter I've ever seen.
Very underrated Super Bowl.
Never gets talked about. Delhomme went punch for punch with Brady.
He did.
Darryl Green, who's getting his jersey retired. By Washington.
Joe
He's
Green,
going to
Darryl
announce
Green,
their
who's
pick.
Next? Tom Green going to announce the pick?
Star of Freddy Got Fingered, Tom Green.
In European road trip.
What's the skit where he brings up like the tackle box or whatever?
His bum is on a rail and he's ready to make the announcement for the 49th pick in the draft.
Darryl Green is a top blank corner in NFL history.
10.
I think so. He's probably the fast. He definitely is the fastest guy ever to play pro football.
I was going to say he's one of the fastest.
If you guys want to watch, if anyone out there listening wants to kill like 10 minutes on YouTube, somebody compiled an entire list of times Darryl Green just chased people down from behind. He's like catching Eric Dickerson full gallop, and Dickerson has a 15-yard head start.
He also farted in an elevator with me over at PPG Paints Arena during the A-10 tournament when he was George Mason's AD, and it just lingered there and was just. Didn't own it, didn't take, just did it, and we all had to sit there in it, or stand there in it.
So everybody knew it was him?
He, like, moved. You know when you, like,
You, like, kind of tilt this way?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, I've done that to you in this studio, and you've probably either never noticed or not said anything.
A couple others, Warren Moon announcing the Titans pick tomorrow, pick 38.
Okay.
Which,
he should do the odd. He should do the Houston picks.
Yeah.
That's BS. He never played in Nashville.
Here's one for the Falcons. Pick 43, Andre Bad Moon Rising.
I have not seen him in a long-ass time.
One that will certainly get my dad pumped up, and I'll actually be watching it with him tomorrow night, the Raiders' Jim Plunkett.
Ooh. I thought was he in bad health or no? Obviously not if he's doing this.
Donnie was telling me
it might have been somebody else I was thinking
Donnie
of.
Was telling me that his parents are coming in. And they're going to meet Sarah's parents for the first time, so there's a lot going on. But John Football is like, look, I don't give a rat's behind. We're getting to Permane's. And we're getting there in time to watch the beginning of the fourth round on on Saturday. Respect. And getting all of our drafts.
Yeah, we might miss it a bit. Like, we're meeting them for dinner tomorrow, and it's like at 7. Like, I'm out of here, and we're meeting them at 7. Like,
ooh, I'm stunned he's willing to do that.
Well, we're going to a place with a lot of TVs.
Oh, okay.
He's going to position himself accordingly.
Yeah.
What if they have, like, what if they don't have the draft on with volume? Is he going to lose his mind?
I think he's actually okay without volume. But we'll try to make it work. And then, yeah, Saturday we're probably going to miss, like, the first little bit because my sister and brother-in-law and niece are also up here because my cousin is having her baby shower. But, yeah, John's like, all right, we're getting to Bermanny's to watch the rest of this bad boy in the afternoon.
Does anybody else find it funny that they list these as either active players or they'll call them legends?
Yeah, because a lot of
Tony Scheffler. Ah, yes, Broncos legend Tony Scheffler.
Well, like the Browns, Carl Nassib, a legend.
Give me three more here to close it out.
Isaac Bruce for the Rams. Then you get Jamal Charles for the Chiefs, who I think is a pretty, like, underappreciated
excellent player in his prime.
That guy, if his prime was longer, would be a Hall of Famer.
I mean, I also, every year I find myself thinking, like, what if Jamal Charles was on these Chiefs teams?
Jamal Charles I'm going to give you a five-year run of his without the one injured year he had. So it's 6 years, but he got hurt in the second game of the 1 year. 1,120 yards rushing, 1,467, 1,509, 1,287, 1,033. The lowest yards per carry he averaged in any of those years is 5 flat.
Then I got one more for you.
I know who this is.
The 92nd overall pick, deep into round 3. Who knows what condition this man will be in.
Drunk.
But it is the limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling dealing, son of a gun. They're going to have Ric Flair come out there at, like, 10:30 p.m. on a Friday night. Who knows what could be said?
He's tempted to make his own pick, don't you think? Isn't he the type of guy that would do something like
that? How many woos when he makes his pick?
He's a Michigan football fan. He just...
Why is he a Michigan football fan? He's from, like, Charlotte.
I don't know, Donnie. Why is he a Michigan fan?
I'm actually not sure.
But he's gone up there and he's done, like, pregame speeches and...
What if it's an Ohio State player and he's like, I'm not saying this name. Woo!
I think they should have had Scott Steiner do it. He was a Michigan guy. Wrestler.
Imagine him doing some math up there on stage. You know what? Not that this is the point of the segment. Jamal Charles is a Hall of Famer. If they can put other guys, what, Floyd Little had how many good seasons? Like 4 of them?
All right, let's back off Floyd. Floyd's no longer with us, Chris.
Okay, so what?
You get on me for that stuff. Let's not mess with the dead here.
I'm just using a name.
Sure.
If Gale Sayers can be in the Hall of Fame, then so too should Jamal Charles.
That's better, because he's still alive.
Are you sure about that?
100%. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Low 42. All right.
No, he's definitely not alive, Pony.
Are you kidding me?
I knew he wasn't. He's been dead almost 4 years.
I missed that one. That's bad.
Unbelievable.
I had a bad feeling when he said
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.